Awesome. Wow. So this is the first time I get to preach with other people in the room. So thank you, Jesus, for that. Because it's hard to tell jokes when nobody laughs, you know. So it's it is way worse if they're in the room and they don't laugh. Yeah, well, then we just dog my. So about two Sundays ago, Brian preached on marriage, and so this week I'm doing single people. So this week is your revenge. It's all about you, and hopefully, married people, you won't tune me out. I think we have something in here for everyone. And last week Brian gave away candy and was like all Oprah-like, and so I was like, "It's like, dude, what am I supposed to do, man? Like, you get a car. Like, church budget. Like, we can't do that, man. Like, they're not gonna approve that. So sorry, you just get me. I can hand out some toilet paper afterwards if it makes you feel better, but that's about the extent we get. So if you guys would turn in your Bibles with me, 1 Corinthians 7:32, we're going to read 32 through 34, and I'm going to read this to you here. So look at that, I hear pages. I love that. 1 Corinthians 7:32, I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world, how he can please his wife. And his interests are divided. The unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned with the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. Father, we just ask, just right now, God, just overwhelmed with your presence. God, thank you so much just for the worship this morning, just the time of just your presence, just to lay things down as we go forward, Father. You are here, Father. Breakthrough. God, we just declare that in Jesus' name. Amen. So statistically, in the United States of America, we are about even in married and unmarried people. It comes out in 2017 in the surveys that it was 45.2% of American adults were single. And so we're kind of in the middle. Since the 1960s, there's actually been this steady decline in married people or single adults. And it's no longer needed to be married to thrive in our world. And that's kind of what we're learning. People are dating less, they're getting married later, they're choosing to remain single, and other things have taken the place of marriage, like maybe college or careers. So that being said, these verses from the Apostle Paul could never be more timely. Paul is giving permission to be both single and married. Not saying one is better than the other, and that may be a little difficult to hear considering where we live in Lancaster County, but that is the facts of what he's saying. We have different stages, different callings of single adults. Those that may be waiting for a spouse and are actively pursuing that. Those that may be divorced. Single adults whose spouse may have passed on. And then those adults who are choosing to remain single for their life. While these verses do speak about marriage, I hope this morning you will hear me, that those marriage people won't tune me out, because I do think it has more to do with focus than it has to do with whether you're single or married. What does your prayer life look like? If I spend time praying and focusing only on me and my family, the struggles with my spouse, the fact that I'm a parent, and I'm only focused on my world, then maybe I'm missing what God is trying to accomplish in my life. And make no mistake, anyone that's married will do this. You've all had the prayers, "Dear God, please help my wife to stop whatever." Or, "Dear Lord, please change my husband's whatever his habit is." And yes, we are to pray and to lift each other up. I get all of that. But is there room for other prayers in your life? This also translates to the single person. If you spend time only praying to God to bring you a spouse, then you too may be missing the point of where you're at. What does the single life look like, and what are we to do? And so let's address the two factions of the single life. First, parents and friends, let's address you. It is not helpful for you to be asking those single adults in your life, so when are you getting married? Are you seeing anyone? What are you waiting for? The rapture? It's not helpful. So don't do that. The problem is that when you do that, when you're speaking that into somebody's life, what you're doing is you're creating in them a prayer life. You're creating them a channel. Your prayers will then be focused on God, bring them somebody, and then their prayers seem like they have to go the same direction because they feel like there's something missing in their lives, that they're not whole until maybe there's dating and marriage and kids, and so there's something missing. So instead of praying for that, pray for their connection to God. Pray that they will use this time that they have right now as a training ground for whatever God has now. Not in the future when they get married, but right in this moment. Okay, now that I have your parents and your friends off your back, you're welcome. Stop feeling like you're missing something. Stop feeling like there's a hole in your life. That's not from God. This letter is written by the Apostle Paul, who, by the way, was unmarried. Earlier in verse 7, he said, "It is good for them to stay unmarried as I do." Now, all growing up, my thought process was always that, oh, well, Paul just never got married. And actually, I did some research, and that's actually probably not correct. Probably more than likely, Paul was a widower. His wife had probably died early on, and his station in life as a Pharisee would have meant that he would have been married for part of the clout and all of these different things. And so when he says, "married as I am," it refers to the fact that he's a widower. And he decided that for the rest of his life, he would remain single. I had a youth pastor growing up who tried very, very hard. God bless him, and I have taken on this mantle now of trying to instill in youth that are dating and thinking about marriage that it is not a destination to be gotten to. And he always explained it like this, and I thought this was pretty ingenious. He goes, you know, if you're walking down a street and you find something of value, do you stop moving and remain there the rest of your life? Well, of course not. That would be stupid. You pick up whatever it is and you continue on the journey. You continue to the destination that you're supposed to go. And that's the problem with so many relationships is that it may be the lesson you need to hear this morning is that sometimes married people have that's such their destiny that they stop growing once they've hit it. They grow to that point. They think God's answered their prayers and they stop. Okay, God, you answered my prayer, so I guess I'll stop checking out and looking for my calling, right? Well, no, of course not. When Emily decided to let me date her, yes, I did say that correctly, just as a caveat, I received one of the biggest challenges I've ever had from God. Will you fight and spend time praying and fasting for your relationship? I was praying and asking God what to do next. And that was the challenge that God gave me. And of course, the answer is yes. But not yes because all of a sudden I was going to get a wife and so I had accomplished something. But yes because I had already been praying and fasting for people in my life, those that I had loved, those that I was in relationship with. I was not going to, quote unquote, all of a sudden get serious about praying and my relationship with God because he had given me what I wanted. I was simply going to shift my focus. And I got to be real honest, at first I had a very unspiritual reaction to that question that God asked me. When he said, would you spend time praying and fasting for that relationship? I was like, well, that's stupid. And it was stupid to me because I had just spent over a year seriously praying and fasting and seeking the face of God for what was happening in my life, for what he was doing all around me. And it was almost impossible for me then to switch my focus. But, you know, God likes to do that. He likes to get you to that place and then go, okay, let's go this place now. And so that's what happened. And he switched my focus, but only for a time. That's what's tough. Are we praying and fasting in this moment for what God has for you now, single people? And let me challenge you a little bit. You should be at the forefront of what God is doing, not in the back waiting for the married people to lead the way. That's not what God has called you to do. There's a reason that Paul writes, an unmarried man is concerned for the Lord's affairs, and you could say woman in that spot, how he can please the Lord. It's because he understood that this person had time to do this. I had a friend growing up as a young adult, and he used to always say, bachelor to the rapture. That was his claim to fame. He's now married with multiple children, by the way, which is not the point of the story other than, you know, it's nice to call him out on that. You hearing the voice of God, were you? The point is that, you know, every time you asked him to do something, he was always too busy, especially if it was church-related, or if you asked him to plan something, he was always too busy to do it. His life was too busy. You know what the old saying is, if you want something done, ask a truly busy person. Now, single adults, if that stings you a little bit, or you might cringe a little bit, or it might make you even mad at me, why? I never realized how much time I had until I didn't. Does that statement bother you? Has God taken a back seat? Has your brothers and sisters taken a back seat because you're too busy in your single life? Your calling right now is in preparation for the rest of your life. And it will carry you through countless sleepless nights. The foundation that I built as a single person, the time that I spent in the Bible creating this foundation, has sustained me even now. It still sustains me. Because I was serious about it. I understood what God was doing in that moment. Not to the fullest extent. I get that. But I did what I was called to do. It's amazing because, you know, Paul's writing this to the Corinthians. And why the Corinthians? What is going on? Well, it just so happened that these Corinthians were facing the most unique and odd situation in anywhere in the cultured world. They were having this mass movement of young adults and other adults not getting married. The reason, however, was because they were focused on their own aspirations. They were trying to better themselves in some way, and marriage just got in the way. Maybe that sounds familiar to some of you. Paul is telling us in these verses, don't get married and don't be single. Well, that's clear. Don't do anything because the pressure of the world is telling you to do it. This is never the right way to make this decision. If you want to do marriage and singleness well, you are going to need the freedom from it. So that's my gift to you this morning. That's what I'm giving you. This concept crosses everything that we do. You are to be free from the world and what that tells you to do. You are supposed to be solely focused on what God is calling you to at this time, right now, for this moment. Be free from the worries of the world. I have one of my favorite kid movies is Wreck-It Ralph. I love Wreck-It Ralph. Wreck-It Ralph has some of the best one-liners of any movie out there. And if you don't understand the story of Wreck-It Ralph, he's a bad guy in a video game. And he's part of a bad guy support group, which sounds fantastic. I'd like to know where that is held. Which that bad guy group produces like the best one-liners ever, and it's awesome. And this is Zombie, and Zombie gives this monumentous amount of wisdom in this thing as Wreck-It Ralph is struggling with being a bad guy, and he doesn't want to be the bad guy. He wants to be the good guy. And Zombie says, let me see if I can do it in his voice. Labels not make you happy. Good, bad, you must love you. And I love Zombie. I'm like, this is genius. Be free from the pressure. I can feel it right now as moms are typing up emails to send me. It's not my words. It's the Apostle Paul's. Email him. If you are remaining single to love your neighbors better and walking out God's calling, that's awesome. Do that. I love this. As I went back on Facebook and was looking for pictures of people loving neighbors. This is loving your neighbors. This is what you're called to do. I will give it a caveat. However, if you're doing it to focus on a career or because you don't want to be obligated to somebody, that's not probably following God's calling. It's right back to selfish motives. And before we go too far and all the married people are shaking their heads, if you got married just because you didn't want to be single anymore and you needed somebody, that's not the right motive either, or there was pressure from the world. We can be selfish in any of those motivations. God is not calling us to that. He's calling you freedom from that. At the end of the movie, when Wreck-It Ralph finally realizes he is the hero, he recites the bad guy support group mantra, which is, I'm bad and that's good. I will never be good and that's not bad. There's no one I'd rather be than me. This is ingenious because he actually is the good guy. He is the hero that he've always wanted to be. And you thought cartoons were stupid. And now everybody, you go home and watch Wreck-It Ralph. It's genius, I'm telling you. The bad guy scenes are hilarious. Absolutely hilarious. So for you single people this morning, single adults, I want to change this slightly for you. I'm single, and that's good. I don't need to be married, and that's not bad. There's no one I'd rather be than me. When you pray for those single people in your life, no matter where they're at, no matter what their calling is at this particular moment, pray that they know the heart of the Father. If you're single and you're seeking the heart of God, God will meet you like you've never been met before. God is looking for people that are awake at 2 a.m. that can pray for Him, that can pray for people that need it. People are looking for someone to help them. You're it. God has gifted you with something. You will never be disappointed. You will never find yourself at a place of loss if you're seeking out the place where God has called you to be at this moment, at this juncture. And you will find yourself praying for people that are in desperate places and that God needs to bring to His throne. You will have your heart softened for the world, and maybe the greatest gift of all, you will find yourself with a heart that knows God deeper than you've ever known Him before. You will find a Father like no other, kind, loving, never absent, always listening, deeply and desperately invested in who you are. That last one is important. Deeply and desperately invested in you. I want to pray for you this morning, you single people. And you other people, I want you to pray for the single people that are around you. And so we're going to take a few moments here and just pray. And so I'm asking you to close your eyes. And if you're single right now, I would ask you to do something for me. I would ask you to put your hand on your heart as I want to pray for you. Father, we just lift up our single adults as they are desperate to see your heart, Father. They're desperate to know who you are and to not be categorized or to put into a group or pushed by the world around them. Give them peace in the situation that they are in right now, Father. For those that are single, that are looking for a spouse, God, give them peace in this time of waiting, like the song spoke of this morning, God, this in the waiting. Give them peace. Father, those that are divorced, give them peace that they will know that you have not forgotten about them. You have not tossed them aside, but God, they have a mission and they have a place right now in the kingdom for what they're supposed to do. Father, for those whose spouses have passed away and they're asking, what do I do now, God? Give them peace in the middle of this. Give them, rejuvenate their vision, God, a new vision, a new place, new insight into what you have for them, Father, and what you're doing right now, Father. For those who have chosen the single life, God, speak to them. Visit them in their dreams. Give them divine encounters that they will know where you are leading them. Make them excited about a life that is filled in the pursuit of you, Lord Jesus. God, make us that are married. God, give us a place that we can lift up those single adults. Give us a way that we can encourage them and love them and be with them on their journey. God, not making them feel like there's something missing or that there's a gap, God, but they're excited about what God is doing right now at this moment in their life. God, may we all embrace that. May we embrace what you're doing at this moment and not let it fall to the side. God, you're an amazing Father who loves all his children and is desperate to get to know them. May we step into that place, Father. Visit those that are single, God. Encourage them, lift them up. May we as a body do that well. In your name, Father. Amen.